Hello, my name is Carrie Alexander, leader of the band Bad Bad Hats.
Midway between the end and the start, I cried like a baby, I tore you apart. Midway between the end and the start, I cried like a baby, I tore you apart.
We are so excited to be speaking to you, Carrie. How's everything going? You're here in Chicago.
Yes.
You're playing a show at the Beat Kitchen tonight. You just got back from Do Division. How's it being back in the city of Chicago?
Oh, it's always nice. We have so we've been here many times, and I think one of our very first out-of-town shows is in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been coming here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have a corkboard map at home where we put pins for all the places we've played, and places that we've played 10 times get a golden pin.
Oh, wow.
So Chicago is the only city other than Minneapolis with a golden pin, so it's a special place for us.
Whoa. You guys are close here. You're in Minnesota, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Were you born and raised there?
So I was born in Minnesota in the Twin Cities, but I moved when I was 5, so
okay.
I grew up in Alabama. Actually,
nice. Okay.
High school in Florida, and then back to Minnesota for college, which is where I met my bandmates. Yes.
All right. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about how you all met and
yes.
came together as the Bad Bad Hats?
Yes. So.
Anytime you mention Alabama, does the alarm go off?
Yes. That's how it works. Yeah. So we met in college.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the three of us. So Chris. Who plays guitar, and Noah, who plays bass, and I all met at McAllister College in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all made music beforehand. Chris and I met and exchanged demos. Actually, we found each other on MySpace, because that was still a thing at
wow.
the time. We liked each other's songwriting and started collaborating, and we came back from study abroad our senior year. We're like, okay, we want to start a band, but we need a bass player.
Mm-hmm.
And like right as we're talking about this, Noah comes up to us in the campus center. He's like, hey guys, guess what? I just bought a bass. And we're like, aha!
Oh, jackpot.
He is ours.
There you go.
So the rest is history, I guess.
Nice. Right on. And then I heard that Noah just, he left the band to go to grad school, huh?
He did, yeah. He's with us now, though. This is his last tour with us.
Yeah.
So we're happy to have him, and we hope people come out to say hi and good luck to him.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, he's going to grad school for social work in the fall, which we're really excited for him about. But it'll be a change, so
yeah.
I'm sad, but it's bittersweet because I'm excited for my friend, and he's really pursuing a passion, but
mm-hmm.
I'll definitely miss him in the band. He's my brother.
What an interesting dynamic, because a band kind of becomes your family
when you're
writing together, and
yep.
especially with Noah being in the band from the start.
Yep.
What's your outlook right now trying to find a new bassist? What is that certain chemistry you're looking for to get that new guy or girl to join the band?
Yeah, well, so we are very lucky that we found Connor Davison,
mm-hmm.
who's playing drums with us about a year and a half ago. It's been really nice to have someone newer in the band who we feel very comfortable writing with and collaborating with and traveling with.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pessimistic before when Noah had sort of discussed like wanting to go to grad school about
mm-hmm.
being able to find anyone who could ever be in the band. So I'm glad I found Connor, and I was like, oh yeah, there are people out there.
They
who,
exist.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Right now, we're pretty focused on Connor, Chris, and I will be the band
mm-hmm.
moving forward, and we're not pushing anything yet. We're going to see if we can might have some friends with us on some of the upcoming tours, but
mm-hmm.
Might try to just do it as a three-piece. We'll kind of see, but it is really important to me to have friends in the band and people who I feel who are supportive and fun and,
mm-hmm.
and nice and good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad I have that in my bandmates. So yeah, I'm
yeah.
kind of like I'm an intuitive person, so just gotta feel it out.
Mm-hmm.
See what my gut feels.
Feel the vibes.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Now, you guys just released a new single
yes.
last week, right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So you went in and you recorded this one live to your old, like, differently from your old ones there.
Yeah.
Do you prefer doing it live rather than tracking and going, you know, overdubbing everything?
Yeah, it's a different experience, because certainly tracking everything was what I was used to and what I thought I would do forever. That's what we did on Psychic Reader. And we did it on a few songs on the new album.
Okay.
But yeah, we were encouraged by our producer, Brett Bullion, to do some more sort of like more spontaneous playing together in the studio, which was exciting to me because I like didn't think that we were the kind of band who could pull that off.
Right.
And I think a lot of that actually had to do with Connor coming into the band and sort of like cohering us on drums. But yeah, it is a different process in some ways as the main songwriter.
Yeah.
Like the songs kind of get away from me a little bit more in that process, but I think it's good for me to sort of relinquish some of that creative energy to my bandmates, and then it's like cool to be surprised by your own song.
Yeah. Do you like the song changes a little bit after you do it over and over again live? You just feel like you find a groove on a certain song?
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. And even like some songs like you'll hear that we play live differently than you will hear on the record, which we think is kind of fun. But
right.
Just playing them live so many times, we're like, you know, this part has never felt right, like, with just the four of us, because we usually record with, like, a lot more instruments than this.
Yeah.
So it's fun for us to make it work in a different way live, okay, even if it's not the same as the record.
The new one sounds like a little electronic-y from your past ones. Did you guys like find a cool new toy and just like start getting weird?
I feel like so that one I wrote just like guitar vocals like most of the songs, so it didn't start out as like I wasn't like this is gonna be our like electronic jam.
Right.
But then I sort of handed it over to Chris to start recording different elements, and he came up with the tom part that's like dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of guided it to where it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you like you digging it, or does it feel is it like unfamiliar territory? But it's good.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. I think I never have tried to like contain myself in certain like genres or anything. So if that's where the song ends up, I'm like,
go for
that's it. That's the path that song has decided it needs to go down.
Nice.
Yeah.
I saw you guys played at a Twins game
a few
years ago.
Uh-huh.
So you played during the game and before it.
Uh-huh.
How does that work? Because like personally, me, I DJ for the Cubs, so like I play all the music in the middle of it. So just like I saw you guys did a live band, I was like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Like coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So how did that work? How did that come about?
Well, it was one of our favorite experiences. The Twins just I don't know if they keep doing it, but they just have a series where they have local bands play throughout the game.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great because they have like a terrace. Yeah, and it was an amazing experience for us because we got a great view of the field, and they got a nice spread. And
so like, you were pumping out throughout the whole park.
Yes.
That's
awesome. But it was, like on the Jumbotron, so nice. I was trying to like watch myself while I played.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah, but it's a little scary though because you can only play in like certain second intervals.
Right,
as I'm sure you know. So
yeah,
through the monitors, they're like, okay, 20 seconds left.
Yeah,
like 5, 4, 3, and you just have to like, and it's over. Like end the song in the middle of the song. So that was kind of exciting.
You don't realize like how much of a TV. Like,
yeah.
Like a TV.
That was the ghost of Kirby
Puckett. Right.
He snuck all that over.
Exactly. Was it like, you know, did you find it fun to do that? Like,
you know,
having like basically a TV show at a ballpark?
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome. Really fun. Yeah, and we got to bring like our friends and family and stuff too, so
that
was
fun.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
A nice day at the ballpark.
There you go, yeah. The good old ballpark.
Yeah.
What a good summertime vibe that is.
Totally, yeah.
I really like that. Well, let's talk a little bit about the new album then.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been reading a lot of your reviews of some of your past music, and a lot of people hyper focus into your songwriting.
Yeah.
Where does some of the inspiration come from? Because I know a lot of it doesn't even come from music you're listening to. Maybe just going outside. Maybe it's playing at the Twins game and just experiencing all that. So where do you kind of get this vibe for when you're putting a pen to a paper?
I don't know. I think for me, I like a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
I like listening to a lot of music. I like working with people like my bandmates who bring their own energy to the table, and just I feel like whenever I go to a show, I feel inspired and I like want to go home and write. So I really try to absorb all that creative energy around me.
Mm-hmm.
But then for me, when I write songs, I want to write something that's like easily enjoyable, but maybe in a package that you are that feels less familiar, so mm-hmm. it's something that grabs you, but then you go like, oh.
Yeah.
And I just, lyrically, I just like to write songs that tell stories that people can latch on to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll kind of make their own meaning from it.
Sure, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I write it with something in mind, but it's really cool when people just sort of, you know, are able to apply it to themselves in some way.
Yeah, you get a lot of songs that are written about certain people and everything. If someone was about to write a song about you, what would you want to write? What kind of key points would you want them to write?
If they're writing about me?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Just sort of, you know, like how I make them feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like, I think for me, one of my favorite things, honestly, mm-hmm. we're getting deep here.
I like this. Okay.
I really enjoy, one of my favorite things is when, like, you know someone, you talk with someone, and then, like, later, like, they mention something, or they, like, give you a gift or something, like, based on, like, a little thing that you told them. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, my God, like, mm-hmm. you were listening. Like, you're, like, paying attention. So any song that's, like, oh, wow. Oh. They, like, really, like, were paying attention, like, to me.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Anyone out there, if you...
Something sweet.
Yeah.
I like that. All right, so speaking of that, what are some of your favorite things to do when you're not on the road and you're just kind of chilling at home?
I really like photography. Mm-hmm. I don't like anything, like, too technical, so I try to get into, like, digital photography, and then mm-hmm. I just want it to be easier. Mm-hmm. So I really like instant photos and disposable cameras and like film cameras that just because it's film, it like has a nice quality to it. So I like that. I want to read. I don't always do it, but I would like to be a good reader. So sometimes I try to do that.
Okay. What's the last book you checked out?
I read a lot of Agatha Christie mysteries, especially in the summer. Those are my beach reads.
Your beach reads.
Yeah, my grandma has like a very large collection of them, so whenever I'm at her house, I pick one up.
Cool.
But yeah, I'm also trying to get through the enormous stack of New Yorker magazines that my mom got me a subscription for, which is great. Thank you, Mom. But it takes me a long time to get through them, so whittling away.
It's so funny you mentioned the New Yorker. That's the one magazine I have a connection to, actually.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest last great magazines where you can actually tell they put work into it.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Every time mm-hmm. Whenever I finally sit down, I'm like, oh, this is really nice.
Yeah. You're like, this is a really well put together, thoughtful piece. And I had this old woman who lived down the hall from me.
Oh, yeah.
She was maybe like 80, 90. And she hated the New Yorker. Mm-hmm. So she would stick them underneath my door for every day for two years.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's so funny because now I use them as coasters.
Oh.
Because I've been through all of them.
Yeah.
It's a really good magazine.
Oh, it's great.
That I'm trying to get to.
It's really great. And it's nice. They're nice on tour, too. I like always bring a stack of them with me mm-hmm. because then when I finish them, I just recycle it. And then my bag is lighter at the end of tour.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you have a question, Brian?
Yeah. Okay. This may be weird.
Okay.
But I thought it was just a fun coincidence. Not coincidence, really. March 23rd, 2016, you posted a photo of a grown man's chest that you had autographed.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was that the weirdest thing you've ever signed?
Actually,
or was
somehow,
there
no.
It just caught my eye. You know, just scrolling through the Instagram, and then you just see a burly, hairy chest with you looking,
That was in Lincoln, Nebraska, I remember distinctly.
Okay.
We've also signed, someone had come from brunch and had a tub of butter, so we signed their butter tub. We signed a Philly cheesesteak.
The bread or
so
meat?
it was wrapped, but we signed the outside of it. Those are up there.
Nice.
So,
is there anything that you're like out there to sign that you're looking for?
A lot of people have a sign like their like purses and phone cases,
mm-hmm.
which it's like the dedication
is serious.
But I mean, we're happy to sign anything that's like not your like property, a piece of paper.
Right.
I encourage people to have a sign, something that could go on a scrapbook.
Yeah,
I like that. That's actually very, very delightful.
Yeah.
That was a delightful answer. I saw that you you have the name Bad Bad Hats. By the way, let's point out that the new album is coming out August 3rd. It's called Lightning Round. Mm-hmm. And I saw that recently you put out an actual Bad Bad Hat.
I have them for sale tonight for the second time ever. So
that's awesome.
No, it's been six years waiting, and we've avoided it because it's so bad. Bad Hats is a reference to the Madeline children's books, mm-hmm. and the Bad Hat is just a character. That's what they call someone who's a troublemaker.
Oh, okay.
So a Bad Hat is a troublemaker. So it doesn't really have to do with hats. Mm-hmm. So we've avoided the hat thing because we're trying to push people away from that. But yeah. we can't deny who we are. The people have spoken, and so we got the hats.
Bad Bad Hat.
I saw the outcry once you posted that and how happy everyone was.
I know. So, and that makes us feel good. But mm-hmm. we're also happy that we waited 6 years because I think it's just elevated the excitement.
You can't give them it right away.
No.
You gotta tease them a little bit.
Yeah. But we're excited to have them, and we hope. Good. We hope people enjoy it.
Well, that's very nice. You're very thoughtful. So again, the album is called Lightning Round, coming out August 3rd.
Yes.
Lightning Round. Where did that come from? Are you a big fan of game shows or just or what happens?
I am a big fan of game shows. Okay. I love the Game Show Network.
Yes.
I love trivia. There's a trivia organization mm-hmm. in the Twin Cities that does trivia everywhere, and I love trivia. So I think that's probably where the phrase came to me, but I just really like the phrase lightning mm-hmm. round. So I like an album title that sort of conjures up certain specific images while being a phrase that is easily recognizable. But to me too, it's the lightning round is the fast pace, okay, now you gotta, this is where you need to prove yourself. Mm-hmm. And so since this is their sophomore album, I feel it's you wanna, this is your chance to say we're for real.
Did you plan this symbolism?
I mean, it's just sort of came. I just like the phrase lightning round, and I'm
it makes me
feel
meshes.
It makes me feel this. So it all came together.
There you go.
But mostly I just like the phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Brian, do you have any more questions?
I was, as you can tell, I was creeping on your social media mm-hmm. quite a bit. You also tweeted on April 24th that you were going to watch a competitive endurance tickling documentary.
Oh. What?
Explain.
So, I forget what it's called. I think it's called maybe just Tickle. It's on HBO.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to explain, honestly. It's a very niche documentary.
Well, I would say so. Yeah.
It's a mystery. I think you just have to watch. But it's as weird as you think it is, and more.
So it left you speechless.
Yes.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
All right. I'll check that out.
It unravels into something you would not expect.
Awesome.
Basically.
All right.
Which is what people, if you saw the replies, people.
Yeah.
On the tweet, were like.
Whoa. I mean, that's an eye catcher.
Yeah.
You put that up there. Yeah. If you could get a response.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we saw that, we were reading the description, we really laughed. And Chris tweeted that, but then we're like, "Hey, we should check this out."
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Twists and turns.
It's the best and worst thing, tickling. It's just...
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of it.
Most people say they hate it, but you kind of always love it a little bit. But there's obviously people who really love it.
Yeah. Okay. It's a
thing.
It's a world. It's an interesting story.
Okay. All right.
Midway between.